Welcome to Your Career Podcast, the podcast that helps to ensure your career success. To start getting on track with your career, download my free career goals calendar from thecareersacademy.online. My goals calendar includes a SMART goals template and a weekly tasks sheet that will ensure step by step you get closer to reaching your career goals. So download my goals calendar today at thecareersacademy.online. Now on with the show. Hello, welcome to Your Career Podcast. If you're a new listener, to be sure you don't miss any interviews with fascinating professionals who've made amazing career changes, plus get up-to-date career management tips, hop over to iTunes and subscribe today. For ongoing support to help you reach your career goals, attend live career coaching webinars, receive one-on-one coaching, complete online career courses, and much, much more, go to facebook.com/Jane Career Coach and take control of your career today.
Welcome to Jane Jackson Careers, a podcast that takes your career to the next level. Here's your host, Jane Jackson, author of Amazon Careers bestseller, Navigating Career Crossroads.
I'm delighted to introduce to you Femi Opaneya, who is the founder and CEO of LinkedIn Optimization, which provides LinkedIn account management as a service to enable sales professionals and businesses to generate B2B leads on LinkedIn. Now, Femi wasn't always an entrepreneur. He started out in investment banking with Credit Suisse, Deutsche Bank, Morgan Stanley, and HSBC for over 10 years before transitioning into entrepreneurship. Now, working with him, his clients are able to establish authority status, save time, and increase revenue by booking sales appointments with their top prospects. In 2017, Femi founded this business because he believed there was a gap in the market for premium LinkedIn services. Now, it took Femi quite a long time to decide to leave investment banking, and he has quite a personal story about this to share. So let's welcome Femi to the show. And I am so delighted to have Femi Opaneya on the show today. And welcome, Femi.
Thank you very much, Jane.
I've been so looking forward to talking to you, Femi, because ever since we met each other at the LinkedIn Local London Old Street networking evening, and we had such a good chat, and I loved your accent, and you had such an interesting career path, that I thought your story would be really inspiring for all of my listeners. So how about, just to kick us off, let's find out about Femi as a little boy and what were your early career aspirations?
Well, thank you very much. I certainly hope it is inspiring for your audience. So my father is a doctor, my mother is a nurse, and early on I wasn't sure entirely what I was going to do, but my father definitely wanted me to be a doctor. And in the end, out of all of his five kids, the only person who became a doctor was the youngest, who is, that is my sister. So I had no idea what I was going to do this entire time. And so every time he asked me, I would come up with something. And so I would make excuses about different things. But I knew for sure that I didn't want to be a doctor. And that's because I'm not good at science, or at least I wasn't back then. And so eventually I decided, okay, I'm going to become a lawyer. And I'm not sure how I came up with the decision, but that's the path I decided to follow.
Okay. You've actually had quite an eclectic career journey, a very interesting one, because you've worked around the world. And, you know, just looking on your LinkedIn profile as well, you know, you worked in Hong Kong, you worked in the UK. You started out in derivatives at HSBC, and
that's right.
You worked at Morgan Stanley. You worked at the Deutsche Bank and Credit Suisse. So you've got some really big name financial institutions behind you, but you studied as a lawyer. So what happened? What happened between law and really financial services?
Yes. So at some point, I did go to, many moons ago, I studied a law degree. So I graduated from university here in the UK. And then after that, I went to law school in London and I graduated in 2002. Wow, that's 16 years ago, so a very long time. And so I did work for a number of law firms after graduating from law school. So I worked as a paralegal for a couple of years in different law firms, but I wasn't able to get a training contract. And so I decided at that point that, look, I was going to just transition into the banking field. But I had no idea what I was going to do. And it was tough for me to find a position. Mm. So what I did is I applied to do several FCA recognized qualifications, and that is the Financial Conduct Authority. And they are the regulator for the financial industry in the UK. So I sent off and I would do distance learning to take these papers. So what I would do typically is that after I finished work at 6 o'clock, I would sit in one of the meeting rooms in the law firm that I worked for, and I would study until about 1 a.m. And I would do this for about 3 weeks. And after that 3 week period, I would take the exam. And so in the end, I got about 5 FCA recognized qualifications in the end. And that is how I ended up transitioning into banking. And as you said, I've worked for a number of bulge bracket financial services banks across the world. And, although I wasn't the model employee, in fact, that was a dreadful.
Well, that sounds intriguing. Why were you not the model employee, Femi?
Okay, we can move on to that. I hated it. I hated the corporate environment. Yeah. I hated investment banking. I hated everything that came with it. Mm-hmm. Although I must say that during that period, I did have some great colleagues that I worked with. Some of the work I was involved in was also interesting as well. But when I say I hated it, it just wasn't for me. So, I mean, mm-hmm. I don't blame investment banking. I don't blame any of my colleagues or my managers, but it just wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the big thing. The only reason I went into financial services in the first place is that all of my friends were working in financial services, and they talked about the razzmatazz and the glory of investment banking.
So you were lured in.
Investment banking was cool, and everyone made so much money. And those were the reasons I went into it. But there was no love for me. And when I say I was a dreadful employee, one of the things I would do is that I would pretend to be working when in fact I wasn't. So Sammy, I would.
I'm hearing all these terrible secrets of yours.
So I was the employee who would be listening to music on YouTube and listening to audiobooks on YouTube during work. Mm. So. The bank I was working for at the time, I'm not going to say their name, but they don't block YouTube at work. And so
they should.
Yes, they probably will after hearing this. Mm. And so I would listen to audiobooks, and people would call me instead of working. People from the front office would call me and they would say, where is that piece of work? And I would say, I'm very busy at the moment. But I will prioritize your work. And then they would get off the phone, they'd be happy, and I would go back to listening to music or listening to Les Brown, his speeches, his motivational speeches. But eventually I decided that, look, I can't keep duping both my colleagues and myself, and that's why I decided to quit and become an entrepreneur.
But even before you became the entrepreneur, it was such an interesting career journey that took you to Hong Kong as well. And so, yes. You know, but working within financial services in Hong Kong, that, I mean, that most people would find that quite exciting, but it wasn't enough for you.
Well, the term that I always like to use with a good friend of mine was that this work is getting in the way of my long holiday. That's the way I thought.
Femi, you are so funny. Okay, all right. So let you studied law. You got you were into derivatives negotiation. You were working at all of these really big name financial institutions, right? And trading, etc., and negotiating. But then entrepreneurship was pulling you in a certain way. So all those audio books and everything you were listening to, it was planting the seed and it was getting you more and more excited. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But the catalyst was actually in 2009. Mm. So I will go back 5 years prior to quitting. Mm. So you may remember that there was a huge bank. Well, actually, there were a bunch of huge investment banks that collapsed around that period. Mm. And Lehman Brothers was one of them. Mm. Now, ironically, I was offered a job at both Lehman Brothers and Deutsche at the time. But I decided to go with Deutsche Bank. But despite going with Deutsche Bank, Lehman's collapsed. And I still lost my job at Deutsche Bank. But I became, as I say, the catalyst was then, because I became extremely depressed during that period. It was a really, really harrowing time for me, because I couldn't get another job. Mm-hmm. I felt hopeless. It was just dreadful for me. So I would wake up in the mornings, just thinking back, I would send out a bunch of CVs. And I would call recruitment consultants and calling up different employers. I mean, I was really, really pushing. And I just couldn't seem to get anything. And at some point, I even spoke to a recruitment consultant. And they said to me, look, there are no jobs in banking. But I became so depressed to the point where I became suicidal. And this was the problem for me, because I felt so hopeless. And so what would happen was that, I'd wake up at 9 o'clock and I would send out CVs and I would call all of these different recruitment consultants, and I wasn't able to get anything. And so by about 1 o'clock, so after about 4 hours, I would become so depressed and so low. And so lethargic that I just decided at some point that, look, there was this large bedroom in my room. There was this large window in my bedroom. And I decided that, look, that was the method that I was going to use. And I would just jump out the window one day. And I had made this decision. I consciously made that decision. But as I said, at about 1 o'clock, at my lowest period, when I felt so lethargic, I decided to just crawl into bed and take a nap. And once I woke up after about an hour, I usually felt just a bit better, and I would just go on to the next day. And I was effectively limping along this way for the next 2 to 3 weeks. And eventually I decided that, look, suicide is certainly not the way. And I needed to find a way out of my situation. And so I decided that, look, I'm just going to take the next job that comes along. And I got a job in telesales where I was earning the equivalent of maybe something like $100 per week, which is a fraction of what I earned in investment banking. But it got me out of the house, and it got me out of that mind frame of constant depression and suicidal thoughts. But around the same time, I also decided that I needed to look into what authentically was me, what authentically I wanted to do with my life. And so that was really the catalyst, that period where I felt depressed and suicidal, when I decided that I was going to leave investment banking to become an entrepreneur. But I didn't take that decision until 5 years later.
Mm-hmm. And then it's such a difficult time when everything's so a big challenge, because that was during the global financial crisis. And yep. Actually, there are a lot of people who suffered so badly because of the amount of money they would have lost and not being able to find another role. There were so many redundancies. It was a dreadful time for everybody. And anyone who wanted to stay within that particular industry, there was nothing there. Yeah, there was nothing there. And if that's, you know, the be all and end all and that's what you do, you tend to think, well, what's the point? Yes. So I'm so happy, Femi, that you saw that there was a way out of it, because that's not an easy thing at all. But you managed to turn your life around. And so when you realize, okay, I know what my plan will be in the future, so that kept you going. What finally happened to help you to actually transition into entrepreneurship?
Yeah, sure. So just to add on to what you said, I think for a lot of people, our identity is wrapped up inside our job and what we do on a daily basis, because we spend so much time there. And that was the same for me. But I knew that I didn't like it. And, you know, as I said, it wasn't for me. So that's, you know, that enabled me to make the shift. But the catalyst to actually leave was in June 2014, when I undertook a course known as the Landmark Forum. And this is kind of it's a self-development, personal development type of course. And essentially at the beginning of the course, they say to you, well, write down all the things that you want to attain out of this course. And one of the things that I wrote down was that I wanted to quit my job. Now, I had no idea at this point what I wanted to do. However, I knew that I couldn't stay. And so that was a major catalyst, because I remember meeting up with a friend of mine who after 3 weeks, I met up with him. We both did the course together, and he said to me, Femi, I quit my job. And, I literally went into work the next day and I handed in my notice. I mean, that was it for me. I decided I just couldn't do it anymore. But actually it was an ego thing. Let me not lie. It was, I thought to myself, well, if he can do it, so can I.
Well, sometimes you just need something to tip you over, because otherwise you think too much. And once you think, then it's a bit like analysis and paralysis and you don't do anything. And so good for your ego. And so then what happened?
Well, I would like to say I lived happily ever after.
I'd love to hear that, Femi.
Yes, I'm actually on my... in the Maldives beach apartment, and I'm going out sunbathing later.
Okay, dream on. What really happened?
Okay, so between 2014 and 2017, actually everything got a lot worse.
Oh no!
Yes, okay. Yes, it did.
I thought there'd be a happy ending a bit sooner.
Well, I mean, I hoped so, but again, a lot of it was, and I hate to use this term because ego is always seen as a negative thing, but I don't believe it's always negative. But I mean, it's the way that that we conjoin with our ego that is the problem. So I had this notion that I could be successful just because, you know, I've got 12 years experience in the corporate field, and I'm going to start a range of different businesses, and one of them is going to take off. And that is exactly what I did. So between 2014 and 2017, I started a range of different businesses, and all of them failed. All of them collapsed in dramatic fashion. Some of them were a lot more harrowing than others. So for instance, I was involved in a multi-level marketing scheme. Or referral networking, whatever people want to call it. Now, don't get me wrong. I learned a lot from being in that business, but, I invited quite a number of my friends into that business. And in the end, we found out that the only reason they started that business was for fraudulent means. So my friends lost a lot of money in that business. And, you know, it was things like that that really crippled me. So, I mean, between 2014 and 2017, I went through a lot of turmoil trying to figure out entrepreneurship. And I would say to anyone that is getting into entrepreneurship, you have to understand that it is not a simple business. It's not simple. It is not something that you enter into, lightly. because there is so much that can happen to upset the business, to disturb the business. And of course, this fed into my personal well-being as well. So I also became very depressed during that period. But I would say that what happened in 2009 was a taste for me of what depression felt like. And it was a good learning lesson, because I know that, because the period was a lot more sustained, 2014 to 2017. And I know that if I didn't go through what I went through in 2009, it would have, the outcome in those 3 years would have been a lot worse. But having said that, I learned from a lot of different things. I sat down with some businessmen with 50 years of experience. Businessmen who I met a guy who's a multimillionaire, and I sat down with him, one on one, just to get to talk to him and understand what he does. I worked in so many different businesses. I got to go to at some point I was brokering gold deals for a client. And I went to Liberia, which is a very interesting experience. Mm-hmm. It took us about 40 hours to get from Hong Kong to Liberia. But I've had a lot of fun despite the downs. There's been tremendous ups.
Sounds like you've had quite a journey. And you know, actually, it's quite interesting, because you're just talking about multi-level marketing. Now, I'm not an expert in that area, but I have heard so many stories about how people were promised the world, and it ends up that with multi-level marketing, you're leveraging your friendships, which yes. ends up being really strained, because mm-hmm. you're just selling to friends, and friends yes. get fed up with it. And
yes.
The promises that it sounds like, and I may be wrong, but it sounds like it's only the people right at the top of the chain that actually do well, and everyone else kind of struggles along. So I've heard, I'd say, in the past 2 months, I've heard 5 horror stories of this particular type of, I wouldn't even call it entrepreneurship. It's like a pyramid scheme, really. And I think people need to be very careful, read the fine print, and beware when they get involved with it. But because you were so into being an entrepreneur, you were looking at lots of options, weren't you, Femi? And so now... Well, It sounds like you have completely turned everything around very successfully, because now you've got this really amazing business. So tell us about this business and how you got it off the ground and you turned everything, including your life, around as well.
Sure. I would say that there are some multi-level marketing schemes out there that are good. However, there are a lot of people involved in the business who are amateurs and who really don't understand about selling. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is really the problem with multi-level marketing, some of the people that get into the business. However, there are some great businesses out there that people can get financial freedom, which is what all of us are looking for. But yes, sure. And yes, just to add as well, I mean, partly I was also very greedy right at the beginning, and that is why things went awry. But yes, what I'm doing now is in 2017, so about 18 months ago, I decided to start another business. So because of what happened in multi-level marketing, I decided that I didn't want to get my friends involved in this business, at least not yet. I didn't want any business partners. I didn't want to raise any capital. I wanted an online business which I could take with me wherever I go. So to the Maldives, which is where I am now.
Carry on, Femi.
And I also wanted a simple business so that if I explained it to anyone, they could understand it almost immediately. And so those were some of the criteria that I used to start this business, which is linked optimization. And what we do is we provide a fully outsourced LinkedIn lead generation service to enable sales professionals and the businesses they work for to generate B2B leads using LinkedIn. And My clients will typically get, on average, 10 to 15 additional high-ticket sales appointments per month. And all they need to do is focus on closing them. So the main thing that I always stress to my clients is that, look, the way social media is created, and LinkedIn is a form of social media, even though it's more on the B2B side, the processes that create it and to be successful are very simple, but there's a lot of time involved in putting these processes into place. And so that is the main thing that we do for our clients. We save them time. So they don't have to focus on learning about LinkedIn or gaining any expertise in LinkedIn. I already have the expertise. So I handle, so whilst they focus on growing their business, whilst they focus on running their business, I focus on growing the business for them. And as well as saving time, they will increase their revenue because of the sales appointments that are generated. And they'll also gain authority status and trust from their target clients, as well as effective marketing and brand development.
Okay. So it sounds like it's a done-for-you service for those who want to build their brand on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like an end-to-end service. So if someone has no idea what they're doing, you'll guide them by the hand, or else you'll say, let me just take it off your hands and help to build your brand so that you understand how to leverage LinkedIn properly.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. So, I mean, I spent 100, maybe 100 plus hours learning about LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And I spend, typically I will log into LinkedIn and I will spend the entire day on the platform. I'm always looking at different people's profiles. So, I mean, I've learned a lot of different, and I also follow some different experts, LinkedIn experts. I don't necessarily want to call myself one of those. But I follow other experts and I get all of the tips from them, as well as the different courses that LinkedIn releases as well. So I stay up to date with all of the different developments and the best ways to utilize LinkedIn. Now, doing that alone is a full-time job. And so if someone, and that's why I say to my clients that they can run their business and then we will handle the actual LinkedIn aspect of it. So we'll start by, so typically I will start by, so I'll give you an example. I was talking to a client today. His name is David. He's the CEO of the company. So I'll talk to him to learn about his business. And then afterwards, I will speak to his sales manager to learn who their target clients are. And so then I will optimize the profile based upon that information so that it speaks directly to the target clients. And then we will start targeting them, connecting with them. We'll start a messaging campaign as well, curating the content, engaging with clients within different groups. So, I mean, there's a lot of different things that we do. Let's just call them growth strategies to grow a business and generate those B2B leads using LinkedIn.
And the thing is that for an individual or for a business owner, that's very, very time consuming. Because Absolutely. If they were going to do it themselves, they would be spending hours on LinkedIn, which is not, I mean, it's good for lead generation. So I'm assuming that you're guiding them through using Sales Navigator.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So Sales Navigator is the best tool to use as far as lead generation is concerned. Mm. And so it is getting to grips with understanding that process, but then doing it on a daily basis. So you can be on LinkedIn if you were to run a lead generation campaign on LinkedIn. I mean, that could be 3 hours a day. And that's 3 hours that you could be spending on, actually at least 3 hours a day. I mean, I sometimes spend 8 hours on LinkedIn each day.
Well, luckily that's your business.
So, yeah.
But it's not just for yourself. It's for obviously all of your clients as well. So that's the important thing, isn't it? But it's so good that for business owners who usually are time poor because they're busy delivering their service or marketing their product or whatever it is, but to have someone to handle a certain aspect of their social media marketing strategy, it really frees up a lot of their time. So LinkedIn optimization obviously is a really valuable service that you're providing. Sounds like, Femi, you have found your niche.
I certainly believe so. You
don't need to do any more pivoting. You can focus on building this business and enjoying it. And it sounds like you're really passionate about it too.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's let me just add that because some people will be saying, why LinkedIn? And I'll tell you why. Well, first of all, there are 600 million professionals on the platform. So your target clients are likely to be on there. If they don't have some kind of presence, I guarantee you that the company they work for will have some kind of presence on there. And also, if someone Googles your name, your LinkedIn profile is likely to come top of those search results. So it's in your interest to make sure that you control that information. Otherwise, you might not like what is getting out there about your business.
And the beauty is that anyone can set up a LinkedIn profile and it's free. And if they optimize it properly and use the right search terms and the right keywords, they can really build their profile for free. How good is that? But the only thing is that just having a profile isn't enough. You really need to be active. You have to engage. You have to build the relationships. And it's still, when it comes to any sort of sales process, it's that know, like, and trust and being able to influence that makes that difference, doesn't it? And obviously your business is helping business owners to do that. So that's really good. And so where can people find you, Femi?
So linkoptimization.com. Mm-hmm. You can also find me on LinkedIn. So Femi Opanea, just type it in. And if you go to my summary section, all my details are there. So someone convinced me to put my phone number on there. So my direct mobile phone number is on my profile.
So if anyone wants to get in touch with Femi directly, if you want a night on the town in London or Mauritius, you know, he's the man to call. Or absolutely. Else you'll find him at any LinkedIn local event globally, right?
Yes. Okay. Right.
Well, what I'm going to do, Femi, is I'll put in my show notes on janejacksoncoach.com your website details and your LinkedIn details and your Twitter details so that people can follow you and also get in touch if they would like to find out a little bit more about what they can do for you.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, it was fun. Femi, when I met you at the LinkedIn Local London Old Street, LinkedIn Local event, that was so much fun, held by Lee Lam. And you just made me laugh. It really, really was good. And this is the thing, because when you meet people online and you take it offline, that's when the relationships can really develop. And so, you know, when you get to know someone, it kind of clicks and you think, oh, I want to find out a little bit more about this person. Then next thing you know, you're on a podcast. So then.
Absolutely. And thank you very much for having me. It was great to meet you in London.
Yes, that's right. And okay, so we've got a big time difference now. What is it now? Oh, it's about 9 o'clock in Sydney.
It's 12 o'clock here. Mm-hmm.
12 o'clock. And it is now time for your lunch and it's time for my dinner. So thank you so much, Femi, for your time. It was really a pleasure talking to you. And I look forward to talking to you again in about a year or so and to see how LinkedIn optimization has grown.
Sure, I'll be back on the podcast.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Femi.
Okay, take care then.
If you enjoyed this podcast, look for Your Career Podcast on iTunes and leave a review. And for all the career management support you need to create your dream career, visit janejacksoncoach.com and join my Careers Academy for live career webinars, group coaching, one-on-one coaching support, as well as my online career development courses. Isn't it time you found your dream job?
You've been listening to Jane Jackson Careers. Sign up to receive regular career advice at janejacksoncoach.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Your Career Podcast, I invite you to check out my career success program at thecareersacademy.online. The Career Success Program is the original program that uniquely provides 24/7 on-demand career support and fortnightly live career coaching sessions to keep you on track to reach your career goals. It is the essential resource for anyone who wants to manage their career effectively, make a career change, and land the job they'll love. Whether you're in exploration mode or seeking a new career direction and need help to make it a reality, the Career Success Program is for you. Not only do you get access to my step-by-step roadmap to navigate your career crossroads, my extensive training library and exclusive members-only discounts and tools, you'll also become part of my supportive community of professionals who will help you with feedback, encouragement, and advice. All this and more makes the Career Success Program the number one place to be for anyone looking to start, manage, and grow their career. Check it out and join me at thecareersacademy.online.